Steve and Jill here.
Hey.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Northern California still.
Today, Jill and I talk about the disconnect between seasoned real estate professionals and sending out blind offers. If you listened to the show yesterday, I kind of alluded to this fact. There are a lot of seasoned real estate people that have their way of doing things, which involves locating properties in the MLS, talking, negotiating, talking, convincing, sending old bottles of whiskey and all kinds of old school stuff. And when you explain, and then they've had success at that.
Yeah.
When you explain, oh no, we just
finding
send
out somebody passed
15,000 offers
and build relationships. That's one of my favorite.
And when you say, oh, we're going to send out 15,000 offers and buy 5 pieces of property and make $50,000 each, that just makes their head spin and makes them a little angry.
It is a little angry.
And what they're angry about is the fact that they don't know anything about computers and data.
They don't know how to do it.
They're not upset with the concept or anything. They're just, it's passed them by. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Not really. Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.landinvestors.com
Thank you.
online community. It's free.
Thank you very much. Mohad wrote, hello, I am new in land investment. I'm not sure what measurement / calculation I need to put price in my blank offer. Any advice, please? And did I read that right? Is that what you're...
He's asking, and I think a lot of people who listen to this show and aren't part of this group have this question. Mm-hmm. What he's asking is, how do I calculate what to offer? You guys are constantly talking about sending out blind offers. Mm-hmm. I get it. How do I calculate it? Mm-hmm. And here's what you do. You take a look at a property that you have deemed is worth $100,000 retail. You're going to sell it for $70,000 to $80,000 wholesale because you want to sell it fast. So you need to purchase that property for half of that. So $80,000, you offer 40, which ends up being between 20 and 40% of what the property is worth retail. So your first rule of order in a spreadsheet full of real estate, pieces of real estate, is to establish in every single line item what you think that land is worth. And there's easier ways and there's hard ways to do it. And if this intrigues you, what I'm talking about, you're a Land Academy member candidate. If you're listening to this and you're already a member, you've since long past this. And you probably started down this path with us because you were interested in this. So this is a very root, basic 101 question. Hey, how do I price an offer?
Wait. And if this, I'm waiting for the third option, which is, and if you hear this, and this makes absolutely no sense, or sounds like absolutely just too much darn work.
Too much work, yeah.
This good, well might said, not Jill. Be for you.
I had to get the
third one out there.
I have a lot to say about that because it's so foreign to me.
I know. It's okay.
What do you think that's all about?
Like, people that get, they're just, it makes their head hurt. They can't, you know why? I think they see it as a one big overwhelming project instead of sitting back and going, okay, let me break this into chunks. Okay, so I have to first pick a county. And I got to make sure it checks this box. Okay, got that done. Now I need to get the data. Okay, got that. Now I have the data. Now I got to scrub the data. What's needed involved there? Okay, now I'm finally at pricing. Boy, I didn't even get to that yet. You know, and then getting them out there. So people like think of the whole big thing like sending out blind offers. Like it's, you know, there's no easy button. You have to break it out.
Our group's packed full of former executives, mechanical engineers, all
smart
types of
people.
Engineers, accountants, actually a lot of salespeople. You know, the people that can deconstruct something like this and put it in a tiny little moving
steps.
Parts or steps and put it all back together and make something of it. I asked a lot of years ago, I asked somebody, a woman was working for me. This is way before Joe, when the company was tiny. It was like two or three people, including me. And she said, look, my daughter's pregnant, and she needs a job really bad, and she's great at this, 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 and this. Can we hire her for a while? And I said, sure. And she was pregnant with her second kid, so that the daughter could bring the first kid in as a toddler. And it was actually a refreshing change. And for whatever reason, one day I asked her, the daughter, you know, so you've been here for a while. What do you think of this? And this is way before Land Academy. It was just buying and selling land and how we do it and stuff she was responsible for. And she said this, I don't think most people think this far ahead.
Oh, it's true.
And that kind of summer, that's obviously how it stuck with me. Like, sure. I think there's a lot of people just like, I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to get a paycheck on Wednesday. And
it's true.
That's about it. Yeah. And I'm good with that.
Maybe think through the year, maybe think through the next vacation, thinking about, you know, just next week and, you know, buying school clothes or whatever it is. I get that.
Jill and I watched a movie in our hotel room last night. It was all about leading up to a wedding. And yeah. So that is so foreign to me and nothing that I want to be, and that's not marriage I'm against at all. Jill and I have the greatest marriage-like relationship I've ever had and probably ever will have, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But the wedding part of it...
Oh, definitely will be the best ever.
I just don't get that wedding mentality.
It's true.
And I think like there's probably a podcast out there for wedding planners.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
That's just like
I
this.
I hope there
it's
is.
Two people that
there should
are
be.
Probably business partners that are the best wedding planners there ever was. And mm-hmm. And they probably deconstruct it right down to like there's the cake, there's the dresses, there's whatever it is. And that makes me want to vomit. All of it. Mm-hmm. Every single part of it. Like, if someone said, hey, man, you could be a wedding planner, and you're probably going to make $1 million a month at it because you can do this, and you're smart about it, and you can deconstruct it, I would say, go pound sand.
You know what? I'm here to tell you, I've planned a couple weddings, and they were called Land Academy Live Events. I think I'm kidding?
No, I know you're not.
There were, yeah, that was like, and they were a couple day things. It was more than just one day. It was like 3 day things, and 4 day things and back to back stuff and different locations and yeah, been there, done that.
Today's topic: the disconnect between a seasoned real estate professional and the blind offer campaigns. This is why you're listening. As I said earlier, there's a lot of people that have done really well in real estate without sending blind offer campaigns. They've and I think personally the ones who've done incredibly well is all surrounded with concept of improvement. You know, I was explaining to a very real estate seasoned real estate professional recently, which is the inspiration for the show, you know, that there's only two ways to create equity in real estate. You either take a property and improve it, you know, or like you take an old car and improve it and sell it and create some equity. You take a vacant piece of land, put an apartment building on, lease it up and sell it, create some equity for yourself. Or you buy it cheaper in the beginning and resell it to somebody who's going to improve it. You buy the classic car for way cheaper than it is worth in its current state and resell it to the renovator. Same thing with the land mm-hmm. and houses. So that's who we are. We're the acquisition people is what it comes down to.
Who buy it for less than it's worth today and don't do anything.
So this person that I was speaking with is actually in a pretty fun social situation. Because all of us have so much time now, social time, you know, when I explained it to that way to him, he said, oh, I get it. You're the guy I should be buying this property from. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're the guy who should be renovating it because I'm sure as hell not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all clicked, you know, because he's throwing cap rates at me. I've done all that. You know, I came back to this, what I call, you know, he's on the dark side. I came back to this. Because I'm not interested in building a building ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are other people listening to this conversation in completely different fields. And they're like, they understood it. Mm-hmm. That's what prompted this. So if you ever find yourself explaining what you're doing to your father or your grandfather who's done well in real estate, explain it like that. There's two ways to create equity. Mm-hmm. Buying it cheap and selling it for more, or improving it.
My funny little add-on is like I was a couple years ago, I haven't talked about this in a while, I just remembered the topic. I was in an elevator and there were two guys talking about properties and talking about, it was so funny, and they were talking about you know, trying to get to know people. They were doing it the old school way, right? Did you hear so-and-so's mom might be selling, might be, you know, that's the long way. Could you imagine? It's like chasing deals. Basically, they were perfectly describing to each other their latest tips and tricks to chase and find deals. You know, everything from waking up in the morning and being right on the MLS to see what hit, not kidding.
That's tragic.
To, you know, getting to know someone's family because so-and-so is sick and that she might have this property that might come available and all of this stuff. And I'm just sitting there, I'm in the elevator and I'm going, do I say it? Do I say it? I'm talking to
myself.
What
did you do? What did you do?
It was the funniest thing. I'm like, do I help them? Do I not help them? My natural state is to help them, but I don't know how well it's going to be received, right? And they're, you know, they don't know who I am. I'm like, they're sitting, they don't know who they're in the elevator with. I probably just look like some, it was in the library too, of all places, you know, they're probably just like, what the heck? Anyway, so I'm going, I couldn't help it. I had to get it out there. I said, hey, you guys. You know, and it was like, as the doors are opening, I give them a 15-second little thing.
You gave
them
a literal elevator pitch.
I did. I said, hey, guys, there's a better way. Get the data. You know, You know, send out some blind offers and buy some properties. And they're looking at me. They're like, and one guy says something to the effect of, you know, my assistant was actually looking at some, getting some assessor data or something like that. I said, she's on the right path. And I said, but, and they're like, and they're looking at me like, but that can't possibly work. It was so quick. And I said, well, you know what? And it was back, you know, it was 2 years ago. I said, you know what? You're right. I've only done 16,000 deals this way. What do I know? And I walked off. And that was it. And the doors
like
closed.
Like Trap.
Exactly. That. And I'm sure they're like, oh, wait a minute. And then I was gone. I was leaving and I was, you know, getting out. And it was so funny. And I'm like, if they were smart, they were searching the parking lot trying to find me and ask me more questions. I don't know. But anyway, I just had places to go and stuff, but I had to get that out there. But it's true. I mean, so many people are taught one way and they just get these blinders on and they don't even pause to realize there could be a better way. You know, oh, but that can't work. Again, well, now I'm 17,000 deals, you know, closing in on that. What do we know? And that's usually what I say. If we're ever out and we're in these situations like you're talking, I wasn't at that last event that you were, that last dinner party, we'll call it that, that you were at, that I was at, but there was a dinner party where there was no dinner.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a kegger.
That's right. Yeah. If I remember that situation, you know, it's like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't even want to go there because it opens up such a can of worms and people really want to pick your brain. It's like if they believe you, which they have no reason not to, then they corner me for 2 hours and I don't want that and you don't want that either. So, but so many people can't fathom there's a better way. And it's like, come on, everybody. It's like, what do you have? Remember the phone on the wall? Now we carry a phone in our pocket. You adapted to that one. Why can't you adapt to this?
So here's what happened. I went to a party. I don't know what Joe was doing that night. And there was a woman there who owns a building, owns a property in Torrance, California. It's like 80 units, 60 or 70 or 80 units. She inherited it. And she has a property manager, and every quarter she gets distribution, a very substantial distribution, because her parents or her father bought this property back in the 70s. Doesn't matter. And so then there's another real estate guy there who's saying, wow, that's so lucky. Isn't she lucky? She was born, you know, she's got the privilege. He didn't say that, but that's what, and you hear that.
That's what he's thinking.
You hear that phrase in the media a lot.
Yeah.
These people have this privilege over here. We don't have anything. And to which, and there's another guy who's a business partner of mine on some other stuff. And what he does is he buys 5 or 8 or 10 unit apartment buildings, cleans them up, kicks everybody out, cleans them up, and re-rents them for the same cap rate, or he calls it a gross rent multiplier, and makes a couple $100,000 and 1031s his way into another property. So I said, hey, what do you say we 1031 our way, starting with very little money, if that, up to a 50, 60, 70 Class A building, a unit Class A building. And he said, sounds good. When do you want to get together? I said, I'm going on vacation. I'll let you know when I come back. And there's a bunch of Hollywood people there looking at us like, you know, we just shoved a shovel in the ground and picked up a 2-pound piece of gold. And to he and I, his name's Frank, to Frank and I, it's just a natural thing to do. Yeah. We know exactly what to do. I know how many offers I have to send out. I know what to do. And what I said on top of that is, Frank, what do you say on the rest of these? We don't renovate them at all. We just sell them on the potential cap rate, probably make not a couple $100,000 a unit, maybe $100,000, and let the other person do all the work. Just lay out the foundation, the financial foundation of what's possible. He said, yeah, that'd be great. Be a lot faster and easier. And then we went back to sipping our cocktails and talking about other stuff. These people were just floored.
Yeah.
So, including the person that owns that building.
Right.
You know, she has no idea how to start from zero in something like that. And in 5 years, own a Class A building in California.
Right. And you can.
And not pay any taxes on the way.
Yeah.
That's what this show's about.
Thank you. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show, I'm happy to say, is our 5-year anniversary episode.
Woohoo!
The show's going to air on tomorrow's July 31st, and that is our to the day we launched Land Academy in 2015, July 31.
Yep. The Land Academy Show remains commercial free for you, our loyal listeners. So wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.